Okay, this week is Shavuos HaGadol. Yes, we're gonna learn. Thank you for reminding me. Before we begin, Mr. Dennis Wilbur, one of our very own, tonight on Shabbos is observing yardside for his wife's grandmother. Her name is Chana Bas Moshe. So may the learning be for her a suchus, and may her neshama have an aliyah, and may have a lichtig gan eden. Let's begin. This week is Parshas Tzav. Tzav is a very hard parsha. Very hard parsha. It's not a long parsha, but it's a hard parsha. And it's all about Korbanos, the Miluim. And you know, it's interesting that this is the parsha we read usually before Pesach. It's also Shabbos HaGadol, and you know, a lot of Rabbanim probably trying to find some connections between Shabbos HaGadol and Parshas Tzav. Okay, let's just try to do a lot of ideas I have for you, really more on the short side. Let's start with some basic ideas. The parsha begins Tzav es Aaron, the Espan of Lamar. So first thing it says in Rashi says Lashon Tzav, Lashon of Zerus, Lashon of encouragement, Miyad Ulidoyos, Amar Rebbe Shim B'Yoyser Tzorcha Kosev Lazaris B'mokim Sheyesh Boich Yisoyin Kis. So this is a famous thought. Probably told you in the past, I always like the Zvart, so this just touches upon me. What does it mean, a chisaron kiss? What does it mean? So it means it costs money. From all of the korbanos, the one that is the most expensive, the one that is the greatest expense for a person, is an oila. Why? Because the oila, the balim, what's that for Brizak? An oila, you get nothing out of an oil. An oil is completely, completely burnt. An oil is completely consumed in the fire, and there is no benefit that comes from the offering of an oil to the owner. When it comes to a carbon shlamim, what? The skin goes to the kohanim, not to the owner. Okay, the skin goes to the kohanim, right? So the owner gets nothing out of the animal. Whereas a carbon shlamim, you have a good meal, a delicious meal. A carbon chatos, at least the kohanim get a good meal. So there's benefit. When you bring all of the other korbanos, there is some degree of benefit. When you bring a carbon oila, there is no benefit. It's a loss. It's a net loss. And therefore, it's what Chazal called a chesaron kis. So people have a tendency to be, not to do it properly, not to be encouraged to bring a carbon oila. What do I really have to gain out of bringing this carbon? Therefore, when Moshe speaks to Aaron and tells him all of the details of the carbon oila, chesaron kis, therefore we use the word with tzav, which is the word of encouragement, that people have to be reminded that money is not everything. Money is the only thing. No, I'm just joking. money is, it's not everything. There is spirituality in this world, and it's not so bad to bring a carbon oil. Yeah.
The first two commanders has a written take on this cash, two cash. One, the commanders have so much meat, other commanders, they really need food. The second question, how would you accusation perhaps against Aaron, the spiritual level of him and his sons, that they would be so missing of the carbon. How could it be? So he had a psychological insight in human nature. So many things out of Teva, they always want more of something. And it's not, and he says, you can have
it doesn't matter who you are. Even Aaron HaKohen needs chizuk. It's true. It's true. If you're in this world, you're here for a purpose. If you're in this world, if Hashem put you in this world, there's always a purpose. But let me look at this very quick, but I won't dwell too much time on this. Is that there's for what does a person bring a carbon oil for? For a hiruhur avera, thought, machshava, thoughts. For actual transgressions, we bring a carbon chatos or a carbon asham. to make peace, in order to bring to develop our relationship with Hashem, we bring a carbon shlamim. A carbon oila is primarily brought when an individual recognizes that he has had a machshava ra'a. Whether it's a machshava, a yearning to be nichshol in arayos, or a machshava, we don't have a yetzahar for this today, the machshava of a vodazara, or maybe a person had a machshava to rob a bank, and the very last moment he changed his mind, every machshava has a consequence. And there is an accountability even for a machshava. Therefore, a person has to bring a carbon oila to the mechaper for a machshava ra. Now, from all the different parts of the person's body, all the different emotions, there's a kiss. For the eyes, you can close your eyes. There are eyelids. For your mouth, speak Lashon Hara, there's a kiss, you can close your mouth. For your nose, you don't want to have fragrance, to smell forbidden fragrances, there's a kiss, you can close the skin. Ears, you can put your finger into the ears, or you can take the fat on the edge of the ears and stick it into your ear. Every single aver on the face has a covering. So it's relatively easy, if you want, to protect your eyes from seeing what's not proper, or not to speak Lashon Hara, or not to hear Lashon Hara, or not to enjoy forbidden fragrances. But the machshava, the mind, the thoughts in the person's mind roams free. There is no kiss, there is no cover to turn off in a person's mind a machshava ra'a.
Yeah, it doesn't work.
Doesn't work. Therefore, that is why the pasuk says tzav. Anytime you're dealing with something that does not have a chisar, it's lacking a kiss. The thoughts, the carbon oila is offered to be mechaper for machshava. A machshava is the most difficult thing to control. There is no simple solution. There's nothing you can do. A place you can go, you can hide, you can do something. There is no kiss. It's very, very difficult. Therefore, when we discuss matters regarding the machshava and it's the aftermath, the atonement for machshava ra, we have to use the word tzav, lashon zerus, because the person has to work very, very hard on being metaher his machshavas. It's a very, very challenging avoida to work on your machshavas. Yeah, I don't remember. The mind is.
Hashem chased out all the Marishim from Gan Eden, and this is one of the punishments.
The mind keeps on going. You can't cover it. Interesting. Okay, I don't have to see the. I have no recollection of that. Maybe with someone else. I have no recollection. Interesting idea. Okay. You know the var from the Chassam Sefer, someone told me this, is that he had a time, you can say over, he told him, if I say chidushim, I think it was the Chassam Sefer, if I say a chidush and you want to say over the chidushim and you want to steal it, you want to be a ganef and you want to say over the chidushim in your name, I give you permission, you can be a ganef. But one thing I ask you, don't say your chidushim in my name. All right. Okay. Now let's go to another idea. I'm going to jump around. We have later on in the parashas the halacha of noisar. Noisar, if you leave over from the meat of kadashim more than the allotted time, then it's forbidden for consumption. If a carbon chatas, a chatas may only be eaten day by day and the following night. What happens if you leave over until the morning? So the leftover meat has to be burnt. What about a carbon shlam? You have 2 days. Your carbon shlam can be in the day that you offer the sacrifice, the night and the following day. What happens if you leave it over to the following night? No, night, so you have to destroy it. Now, then the pasuk goes on to tell us, what about the kalim? The kalim of the belios. Let's say you're using a metal pot to cook the carbon shlamim, to cook the meat of the carbon chatas. What do you do with the metal pot? So the pasuk says you have to rinse it. It has to be morak v'shutaf b'moyim, which means hagolah, like what we do for Pesach. This is very, very relevant to today, preparing for Pesach. You have a sink, stainless steel. You have things you want to use. You have an urn. You want to use something that's you want to use something which is clean. You still must do hagola kiboyloi kach poltoi. If this pot absorbed forbidden matter, absorbed meat, and now it's past the zman, you want to consume it. You want to use it, so you have to do hagola. You pour boiling hot water; it will purge it from its absorptions. Now, the truth is, this pasuk of a moirak vishutaf b'moyim, which teaches us v'im b'chli nechoshes bushala u'moirak vishutaf b'moyim, the Gemara tells us only is true if you want it. Really, theoretically, when it comes to kashrus, it's only true within the first 24 hours. Now, this really goes back to the sugya of klei minyan. Let's go back. If you go Parashas Matos, there the pasuk described the same thing as well. It described the laws. If you go and you go into battle and you have spoils of war and you have non-kosher utensils and you wanted to keep it for yourself, you have to kasher the non-kosher utensils. You have to put them in the mikvah. That's number one. Number two, you have to remove it, purge it from its forbidden absorptions. How do you remove it? Hagolah. Same thing. You pour boiling, if it's metal, you pour boiling hot water and it becomes permitted. Now the truth is, in Parashas Matos, the only time you need to do Hagolah to remove forbidden, non-kosher flavor is only within the first 24 hours. If you go have a pot from a non-Jew, you have to be tovel in the mikvah, but being that it has forbidden chazer, it's been used for chazer, so for the first 24 hours you put it in boiling hot water, and that purges the forbidden flavor. What happens if it's past 24 hours? According to the letter of the law, you don't have to do anything. Why? After 24 hours, anything that's been absorbed in the walls, the pot, is called pagam. Noisein tam lefgam. It's not tangible. So certainly, any residue, any flavor, it becomes disgusting. It becomes nothing. There's no need. Now that's something that is true according to the letter of the law. Halach the Rabbanon were not so generous, and they required us to be kasher utensils even if they've passed 24 hours. So we're makbid, and adarabah, we do both. Lechatchili is supposed to wait first 24 hours. So now it's min haTorah, the utensil is permitted, it's kosher. And then as a chumer midrabanan, we kasher the utensil after 24 hours. If you don't have 24 hours until Pesach, or if you're a caterer and you have it doing an affair in a non-kosher facility and it's less than 24 hours to go, so there are heterim in Shulchan Aruch which allow you b'di'evet to kasher utensils even within 24 hours, because midaraisa, you're allowed to do it. Chazal allowed you to do it as well. Today, what they actually do is they do a technique where if it's lead, they make it lifgam by using detergent. They pour detergent on the utensil and boiling bleach, hot detergent, bleach, and that makes the bleach edible. And bleach, or it doesn't whatever. Something with just lifgam, they take boiling hot water with bleach, or and that causes whatever is absorbed inside to become pagam, and then they kasher it again. Well, maybe they do with vasachas, I don't know exactly what they do, but that's a technique, that's a bidyavet. That bidyavet is at least better than doing nothing. Because sometimes the truth is, if you can't do it within 24 hours, it's very common Pesach, people are just running out of time. They're up the whole night, and they don't get up to kashering their sink or certain utensils when it's ready within 24 hours of Pesach. And they've actually used it. The truth is, most of the time you haven't really used it for Chametz Gomor, but in the event where you have used it for Chametz Gomor and you still want to kasher it, it's brought down that b'di'evet, if you have no choice, and it's the only thing you have available, you can kasher your pots within 24 hours. But after 24 hours, mi'ikar hadin, you do not need to kasher your utensils. It's nice in tam lefgam. Okay, that's the halach when it comes to non-kosher meat. Now, let's go now to the case of kodoshim. You're in the Beis HaMikdash. I have a carbon. I have a pot made from metal, nechoshes. I've used it.
They cooked it in pots
already? Yes, they cooked in pots. Yes, they cooked in the pots, absolutely. Because that lamashcha, when koyhanim eat in the Beis HaMikdash, it's better than the fanciest restaurant you've ever gone to. Okay, someone took me to Tea Fusion. You ever go to Tea Fusion? They're paying me to say this. Tea Fusion? Tea Fusion over here. Unbelievable. Yeah, they have good meat. They have good stuff there in Tea Fusion. Okay, you go in Manhattan, they have some very fancy restaurants in Manhattan, Prime Grill and this and that. Okay, whatever you can find in Flatbush, Brooklyn, Borough Park, or Manhattan, guarantee you in the Beis HaMikdash, it was better. It tasted better. They knew how to make a good steak in the Beis HaMikdash. It says in the Torah, L'mashcha, when the Kohanim eat it, it has to taste good, it has to be top of their game. They had the best chefs. However you want. However you want to cook. So if there are... No, the mizbeach, you only put on the mizbeach, you only put the blood and the fats. The blood and the fats. But a carbon chatos and a carbon shlamim, all of the meat was eaten by the kohanim or by the owners or by your guests. So they cooked it. They had a kasherit, the kasher to remove the blood, and then they had a chef. There was a chef in the Beis HaMikdash who prepared the meat of a carbon chatos for the kohanim to eat. And the kohanim sat down at nice picnic tables, and they had a delicious meal eating the meat of the carbon chatos that an individual presented, brought. And when the kohanim eat that meat, that is a chelik of the kapara. The ochlu oisam asher kupar bohem. The way the owner achieves atonement is when the kohanim eat. And the kohanim have to eat it in a state of chashivos, of importance. The way a king eats a meal. So there was a lot of cooking and barbecuing and whatever you want to do. This was done in the Beis HaMikdash. Now, part of the preparation, they were obviously kohanim that wanted their meat cooked. They did not want a steak, they wanted a cooked piece of meat. So they were metal pots. So they take the carbon chatos, they cook it in a metal pot, and the kohen, he said, now we have a metal pot. What do I do with the metal pot? So you'll say to me, no problem. Just wait 24 hours. Wait 24 hours. Whatever has been inside is noisein tam lefgam. And if I'm in a rush, I want to use the pot within 24 hours, okay, then I will be makbid to do Hagolah. I want to use the pot. No, I'm sorry. Within 24 hours is not a problem. Let me clarify. I'm sorry. I have to get to that. I made a mistake. Let me clarify. There's nothing wrong with the pot. The pot is neat. So gesund hate. What's the problem? The problem is the belios, the absorptions of meat in the pot have a time limit. Because after the time is over, it becomes noiser. It becomes noiser. Now, when is the shortest? Let's talk about a carbon shlamim. So a carbon shlamim, how long am I allowed to eat? How long am I allowed to eat a carbon shlamim? The day when I bring my carbon, the following night, and the next day. So that means any absorption in the wall of the pot does not become usur for consumption for 2 days. From the moment that I cook the meat in the pot, I have 24 hours plus until that evening. At that point in time, any absorption becomes noisa. And that means the pot becomes treif. Okay, are we clear with this? You cook kodashim in a pot. Just like the meat can only be eaten for a time limit, and after that time limit, it is forbidden, it's kores, to eat meat past the time limit, so to any flavor that has been absorbed in the pot is only permitted for that same time limit. Once that time limit passes, the belios, the absorption of flavor in the pot, is noiser. So if I'm now going to take this pot and reuse it to cook another carbon, a new carbon, I'm basically cooking a new carbon in a treif pot. Why is it treif? It was kosher meat. But it's true, the meat was kosher, but the absorptions have now turned into noiser. The meat is only kosher. Oh, so you're asking me a question. There's never going to be a problem. Because when it becomes nicer, it's usually past the 24-hour period. Right, that's the question. Right.
There's
never nicer. Forget about it, there's never going to be nicer because, wait, let's say you're not going to use it continuously. Let's say I want to use it next week. Let's just make it very, very simple. I want to use it next week. Let's say I want to use this very pot next week.
So if the
It's not. So what are you going to tell me? You tell me, oh, but there's noiser, there's absorptions of noiser in the walls of the pot. But tam lufgam, after 24 hours of not using the pot, any absorption in the wall of the pot is pagam. That's right. So in the Beis HaMikdash, the Rabbanans came along later on. Rabbanans, the time of the Chumash, were only dealing with their rices. And furthermore, in the Beis HaMikdash, there was a very limited number of dinim the Rabbanan that they applied. When the Rabbanan made Takanas Chumash, generally, not all the time, they were applied only outside the Beis HaMikdash. Ein Shavus B'Mikdash. In the Beis HaMikdash, we let everything fall on the Din Torah. And this takana was a later takana. Rabban made this very recently. This takana of even when it's time of kam, you still need to kash it. So the question is, the Torah goes out of its way to tell us, when is that? When is that? Because if you're dealing here with the carbon shlamim is always, even the worst scenario, I bring the carbon shlamim the very last moment of the day, it's always going to be more than 24 hours, when it'll become nicer. So it's going to become more than 24 hours and become nicer. At that time, anyway, it's moot because it's nice in time lifgam. Make matters worse. Let's make matters worse. No, it doesn't matter where you store the meat. Not the meat, it's the absorptions in the walls of a clean pot. I cook meat, I take the meat out of the pot, and I clean the pot. Let's make it very simple. I take the meat out of the pot, the meat has been cooked, it's finished, I serve the meat, I take the pot, I rinse the pot, it's clean as a whistle. Now, within 24 hours from that moment, whatever absorption that is in the walls of the pot is pagam, becomes nothing. It becomes as if it doesn't exist in halacha. So if I want to use the pot within, if it's treif, let's say I use it to cook chazer, and I want to use this very pot, so after 24 hours I can use it. Because the belios of tarfus in the walls of the pot become null and void. If I want to use the pot within 24 hours, then I need to do a ma'is hagola. Here we have a new issue. We have the issue of noiser. It's kosher meat. But after the time period where you're allowed to eat the carbon, the bleois become noiser. But so what? It becomes noiser. By the time it becomes noiser, it's already after 24 hours. It's nice in tam lufgam.
No, there's no problem. You can use it right away for a different carbon.
A different carbon.
So even when you're using it for a different carbon,
you're doing hagola for that.
It has both of them. It has the noiser and the new carbon.
So what? It's not noiser anymore. No. You're saying it's you reinstating it. You're saying
you're taking right. Okay.
You're saying an interesting idea. You're saying a hechatim. So he's saying a very interesting idea, which not for now. Any other time. Okay. You're saying.
What's your
shot? Now let's go to the worst there. There's a very powerful point that I want to bring out from a sefer called Tal Libed. He says an unbelievable chiddush here. And it applies very well. The sefer does not. The name of the sefer is called V'taher Libenu. He does not write who he is. I never saw such a thing like this. There's no trace anywhere who is the mechaber of the sefer. It's a 2-volume sefer. The chidushim there are really good, good, good stuff. Chosh of the Torah, really solid stuff. And there's no name. I never saw such a thing. Anonymous sefer. Now here's the question. The real question, the real big issue, and this is something which is very, very, very fascinating, is the klicheres. There is no way to kasher china. We all know that if you have non-glazed china, the real china, it becomes treif, basa b'chalav, goes in the garbage. Oh, they are blios after 24 hours? Well, we, lahalocha machmir, after 24 hours, you have to do hagala. Since we cannot do hagola on kli cheres, nothing you can do, goes in the garbage. Some are makel if you wait 3 years, a year, 12 months. There are techniques, b'shas atchak, there are techniques that you can kasher china, b'shas atchak. But it's not very common, it's not advised. In the Beis HaMikdash, it was very common to use cheres. Pottery, at least for serving. They use cheres, kli cheres. There's no way to kasher kli cheres. You eat besar kodoshim. After 24 hours, the absorptions, after 1 day and one night, it becomes noiser. So now you have in front of you a kli cheres, an earthenware utensil, that has within it absorptions of meat that is holy, which becomes noiser after a day and a day and a night.
Does it become absorbed when it's cooking or just when it's resting in the pot?
When it's cooking, when it has to be hot. It has to be hot. You put the meat in the pot when it is burning hot, when it's yat soledes. That's
so if
enough.
You put it into a dish, then there is no.
If no, it depends. If when you put it into a dish and it was still piping hot, it was yat soledes, it would make the pot treif as well, the plate is treif as well. So let's discuss a hechetim, so where it really absorbed the flavor of the kadoshim, and now it's more, and now the time limit on this meat has passed, so the absorptions in the pot are noiser, chayv karis. But, so what do I do with the pot? So the Torah tells you, I'm sorry to tell you, Rabbi Isai, it says, ukli cheres, if this in the base Hamigdash is earthenware, asher tivu shalbo, ye shover, throw it in the garbage. And this we know is a very big problem in the time of the base Hamigdash, when you have millions of people coming to bring korbanos, and they're using kli cheres. They didn't have plastic in those days. They didn't have, not everyone was going to schlep metal, cheres is cheap. And then they would eat their korbanos using kli cheres, and it was leftover utensils. What do you do with it? In the garbage. There were mounds and mounds and mounds of broken pottery because there's nothing you can do with it. Now let me ask you a question. Why not? After 24 hours, it's noisein tam lefgam. Why does the Torah tell you ukli cheres asher tevu shalbo yishover when it's noisein tam lefgam? And don't tell me that Chazal told us that even though it's Tam Lefgam, you have to kashrut anyway. That's only a Chumra Midrabanan, which came into existence at a much, much later point in time. But Minat Torah, there's no need to kashrut. The Torah is telling you have no choice but to destroy it. I mean, this is such a basic question. This is like a fundamental question. What is going on over here? The Torah is telling you to do something which is Shleik Halacha. Well, for the common man, what's going on over here? It's a very good question. So let's say for Vitar Libein, he quotes the answer. I don't think it says he quotes the answer, and he says it's a Mishnah. It's a Mishnah in, I don't know where the Mishnah is, I forgot what the Mishnah is, in Pirkei Avos. And the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos says, Asara Nisim, there were 10 miracles that took place in the Beis HaMikdash. And one of those 10 miracles was, meat never rotted. Besar Kodesh never rotted. At home, you buy some meat from Glatmart after 24 hours in the pot. You take it out of the pot. It's noisein tam lefgam. The whole Yoredeya is built on the principle noisein tam lefgam. It comes a point in time when meat is disgusting, when meat decays and meat has no flavor. But in the Beis HaMikdash, if you dedicate a piece of meat, this piece of meat is kodesh, is a carbon chata, is a carbon oila. A miracle takes over. This is what it says in the Mishnah. A miracle. Besar kodesh, meat imbued with sanctity. Bisman shebeis hamikdash yekayam, never is masriach. So do you know what that means? That is no time of gam. The absorption of the kli cheres is good forever. She'll never get rid. And now after a day and a night, it's noiser. It's noiser. It turns into noiser. So I have here a treif, a pot. I have here after a day and a night, I have here a pot that has absorptions of kodesh, which will never become pagam, but it's noiser. So it's a treif, a pot. And kli cheres is no way to kasher. Yishaver. The pasuk here is the megale itself, the miracle that besar kodesh is not poigim.
A metal pot,
you have a solution. Hagolo. Hagola, but kli cheres is no. But a metal pot, you have to do hagola meikar hadin.
But you don't need the 24 hours for nice time of gam.
It's not going to make a difference, right? You're saying it's not going to make a difference anyway. The 24 hours, exactly. So you do right away. You're right. Exactly. So
the if you do hagola without.
Well, anyway, the base time you're saying, this is a new thing. Waiting 24 hours a chumra bisman hazeh. That's a chumra bisman hazeh.
The Rabban,
of course. Yeah. So you do hagol immediately. You do it immediately, and it comes to no solution.
Okay. Doesn't say when you have to.
What? Right, you do it. Doesn't matter. No matter when.
They had a lot of pots.
Even a year later, you have to do it. Because besar kodesh is not masriach. You'll always have fresh, you always have flavorable taste in your pot, and it's noiser. If it's noiser, it's treif, that's what we call treif, it's not kosher, so you have to do kasher. Metal I can kasher, cheres I can kasher. Okay, now, that is an incredible insight in and of itself. Now we go further, yeah.
Why did they only use the matches?
It appears that it was too expensive for the common man, it was too heavy, or it just wasn't available. It wasn't available. It was common. People always theorizing that when the base Hamikdash in Yeretz Hashem they rebuild very soon, we're going to be using plastic, because plastic is something which is there's going to be a problem of Neisser. There's going to be this problem. So what you, it's not. No, you're right. Because it's not treif. It's not. But all different techniques. There are a lot of advantages of plastic. And some want to go so far. The reason why Hashem gave us plastic today is all preparation for the Bayis Shlishi. It'll solve a lot of problems.
Let's say you cooked something, you had leftovers. What did you do with the leftovers?
Burned it.
You know what I'm saying?
Nicer, meat. No, you had to burn it.
Is it
Kedushin? You have to. Torah says, V'hanoisar mimenu bo'esh tisareif. Yes, you have to until it's nicer. While it's before it's nicer, you're not allowed to. You're mechuyif to eat it.
So they never cleaned the dishes until
it was
nicer.
They never... Not
cleaned the pots.
I don't know how far it goes.
If it was still... let's say you had a...
I hear what you're saying. Yeah. I hear what you're saying. I don't know how...
You throw it away...
It's not mistaver. It's not mistaver. You would wait 3 days to clean the pots. Not mistaver. You go so far. I don't know. I really don't know. Okay, now let's go. Yeah.
Zman hazeh, similar parallel.
Yeah.
Is perish shvi is in Eretz Yisrael.
Zman beer. The perish shvi is in Eretz Yisrael. What do you do? The bliyos. The bliyos.
Not just the bliyos. Itself.
No.
The food itself has to be destroyed.
Exactly.
The food has to be destroyed.
You can't just throw in the garbage.
You let out the rest.
Derech Kedusha.
Right.
You throw in the garbage, that derech bezoyin. They dispose of it, not derech bezoyin.
They let it rot.
Okay, there are any issues that come out from this. Now, here's
the question is what he's saying is the pots, fumes of Adam Shvias.
The bliyos. That's right.
So is the Kedusha, if.
But there's pagam. There's no shviyas. You don't have a miracle. By only kedusha. Kodesh. No, only the Beis Hamikdash. Only Besar Kodesh. Not shviyas. We only. It says in the Mishnah. No, only by a davar kodesh in the Beis Hamikdash. By the Beis Hamikdash, a carbon. You only apply the principle of that it's not nice in Tam Lufgam by a korban, not by shvius, not by a dover of Kedusha shvius. You could understand that. Yes. It's Pashat. Shvius, yeah, fine, but it's not the same Kedusha. The idea, it's a tremendous chiddush. It says in the Mishnah, in Pirkei Avos, Asara, Nisim, Nasu, Lavosenu, in the Beis Hamikdash. And one of them is the Besar, Kodesh, Lo Hisriach. It doesn't say anywhere that Perish Shvius is Lo Hisriach. It doesn't say that. So when it comes to the Kalim of Shvius, maybe you have to kash or not, I don't know. Maybe the other reason why not. The reason not, they're Machra, they never.
People who are
machmir
will not eat kosher stuff that is cooked in the same kelim.
After the next year.
No, the same year.
Why
if
not
you
the same year?
The kelim will not be.
All right, okay, we'll go to the topic. Okay, I hear what you're saying. These are very complicated issues. But let's just focus on here's the question. So look at this. It's an amazing insight. Amazing insight preparing us for Pesach. We have over here in the Beis Hamikdash a pasuk. The pasuk seems to be shleika halach. The solution to the answer, the pasuk is you have to know the Mishnah. You have to know the Mishnah says asar nisim shloih esriach. It's not tam lufgam. And what are the consequences? That's why you have to go. You have to destroy it. You have to destroy your klicheres. So let me ask you a question. Let's ask a question. Talk to the average person and say to him, sir, Hashem is going to do for you a miracle. You're coming to Yerushalayim. You come to Yerushalayim for the regal, you give him a carbon pesach, a carbon chagiga, a shlamim, all the chagim. Hashem is going to do for you a miracle. The boss is not masriach. He'll say, a moichel the toivas, moichel toivas. By Hashem doing for me this miracle, I have a lot bigger problems than I got started with. I'll give you a mashal, dugma, lahavil elif alfi avdalas. I remember many years ago, Oprah Winfrey, she gave every one of her employees a free car. Unbelievable, a multi-billionaire, everyone gets a free car. What greater chesed could you do for all these poor people, give them a free car? Do you know that most of them ended up not taking the car? Because the taxes they would have to pay would come out of their own pockets. They would take the car into their possession and then have to pay the government. There was no way to avoid this. There was no way to avoid, she would pay for the tax. They would have to go pay $3,000 to $4,000 out of their savings account for the car. They can't go sell the car and only take, 90% of the car. Okay, the car is the car. So if you're going to take the car, you have to declare that you received this gift. These are the laws. These were the laws. This is unbelievable. A moichel the toiva. A free car? What could you want? You get a free car. A moichel. Don't be any toivas. The insurance I have to pay now for a new car, a lot of insurance. And I have to go pay and this and that. With the car, with the greuse toiva that you think, you get, the greuse glick of getting a free car, comes a whole bunch of problems that it's just not worth it. And therefore, most of the people that they gave the car to told her, thank you, but no thank you. Okay, lahav del elif alfi avdolos. Over here we have here, Hashem says, come to the Beis HaMikdash. I'm going to do a miracle. The meat's not going to be masriach. Now listen, what am I eating this meat anyway? I'm eating it for a day and a night. I don't need a miracle for a day and a night for it not to be masriach. Al derech ha-teva, it's not so hot outside that the meat's going to rot in a day and a night. I will work it out that it won't rot. You're doing me a toiva, it's never going to rot. Yeah, you know what the consequence of that my toiva is? My china goes in the garbage after the Pesach Seder. I'm going to serve the carbon Pesach on my fancy china, on my heirloom from my Alt Zeder. And then, oh, it's nicer. It's nicer. Oh, Tam Luskam? No. Bisar Kodesh. Asar Nisan. It's Bisar Kodesh. It's not Tam Luskam. So that means Kli Cheres, China, $1,000 set of China in the garbage. What? Klein Cheshes. I also have an Avodah. I have to go cash to the Klein Cheshes. Also Hagola, you have to go run to Hagola. I have to go to work. I don't have time to go schlep my whole kitchen, go bring a professional to go to Hagola. I'm Michael the Toiva. What kind of miracle is this? Okay, Mayor. Okay, ready.
You were not came with it to come Pesach. It was all sleep.
But you put hot meat on the plate when you finished.
So is that, it's a clay reason.
And you had other things that you cooked and you mixed together. No. There were situations.
Well, didn't make it
so maybe not Pesach, but other korbanos, yes. The Pasuk says, there are many hechatinses where you have to go kashu your kelim. So here is the incredible question. We are brainwashed. Pesach is all about miracles. Lemala miderech hateva. Okay, Purim is over. Purim was over a long time ago. Okay, Purim is the miracles that were hidden in Teva. We're now up to Pesach. L'malo miderech ha-teva. So what do you think when you, it's always a benefit, it's a bonus. Instead of walking, going, Kriyas Yamsuf, I would have been killed. I would have been, the Egyptian would have killed me. Miracle, the Yam split. And not only that, I didn't have to walk in the mud. Another miracle. Becharava, dry land. Anani Yaakov. Every miracle that we think about, 99% of the time, we associate the miracle has brought us pure benefit. Pure benefit. There is no collateral damage in miracles. Isn't that the way we think? Isn't that how we associate miracles? And here, in this parasha, Parasha Saf, Hakdama, Shabbos, Hagadol, there's an open miracle in the Torah. You don't normally have this. This is very strange, because you don't have open miracles in the Torah. The Torah is a very, very, like a literature sefer. Very, very straightforward. No hocus pocus. Everything is down to earth. And there's a pasuk here that doesn't make any sense. A kli cheres, yishaver. What are you talking about? Just wait 24 hours. By the time it's already noiser, it's already for 24 hours. That's the halacha. Tam lufkan. No. In the pasuk, it's teaching that it's a miracle. And do I really gain from this miracle? in the big picture of things, do I gain from this miracle? No, I don't gain from this miracle. So Hashem, why do it? Oh, why do it? Why do it? Why should you go and do a miracle when the miracle, it's very nice in Pirkei Avos. When you teach children Pirkei Avos, oh wow, look at that, meat never rotted. Everyone knows you pass rotten meat, it smells, ugh. So meat never rotted. The Beis Hamikdash, that wasn't a problem because everything was very clean. We assume everything went very quickly. Everything went according to procedure. So it's not wasn't an issue of meat rotting. So what's the benefit? What benefit are you giving me over here? I have to destroy my china? What's going on over here? So first of all, before I tell you the answer, let me just tell what he says in the Sefer. It's a beautiful idea, and then we'll wrap it up with this fart. Is this is a dogma. The reason why Hashem made this miracle, it's a dogma for a human being. It's a very beautiful idea. There is no greater or more significant kli cheres in this world than a human being. How did Hashem make man? Afar min hu adama and mayim. Mayim from the shisim, afar min hu adama. Hashem kneaded it together, put men out in the sun to dry, and we have here a kli cheres. And what did Hashem do to this kli cheres? Vayipach be'apav nishmas chayim, kedusha. Hashem blew the breath of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem is not called HaKadosh Baruch Hu for no reason. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is HaKadosh. And the avir, the ruach of HaKadosh Baruch Hu was injected into the kli cheres. Look at that. It's just like a pot of meat. You have in the Beis HaMikdash a kli cheres, and in the kli cheres you put besar kodesh. A man, a human being, is a kli cheres, and Hashem has put into the walls of the kli cheres kedusha. Vayipach ba'apav nishmas chayim. And what is the pasuk teaching us? The kedusha that Hashem blew into man is never nifkan. Live 120 years. How many days are there in living 120 years? I don't know. But whatever there are, when it comes to besar chulin in the walls of a kli cheres, after 24 hours, nifkan, I don't need to do anything. The Ribbono Shel Olam was blew kedusha into the kli cheres. The kedusha is never ever nifka. That kedusha stays with man until Anea Ve'esrim. Anea Ve'esrim. And that's why it has to be like this.
No.
You came too late to ask questions.
I ran 40,000 days, he did 120 years.
That's why it has to be like that. That besar kodesh is not nifkan, because the besar kodesh in the kli cheres is just a dogma for the creation of man. Okay, but now let's wind down the vart. What do you learn from this yisoid? The yisoid is, when you look at a miracle, this is a daily miracle that takes place, it's a mitzias in halacha, it always exists, Chazal say, with Kedusha. When you go into Pesach, don't go into Pesach with the attitude of a child. That, miracles, Dam, Tzfardeya, Kinim, Arav, Dever, Shchin, all the miracles, Yitzias, Mitzrayim, Kriyas, Yamsuf, it's all for our benefit. Ah, wonderful, wonderful. Hashem is giving us a free car. Hashem is giving us bonuses, filling up our bank accounts, giving us bracha. That's not the right, that's a very naive, it's a very elementary attitude. It's true, miracles are all for our benefit. Hashem takes out of Mitzrayim, Hashem made it easy for us. But when you look at this week's parasha, you learn a yesod. Dover ha-shoye b'chlal, v'yotza menachlal l'lameid, lo'y l'lam l'atzma yotza, ella l'lam l'alkol ha-klal kul yotza. A miracle is there because Hashem wants to teach you something. And that means there are consequences. You have obligations. You have a duty to do things, to behave, to serve Hashem because of the miracle. It's not the miracle. The miracle was done for its own purpose. And now you have, it's a shibud upon you to be careful, to do certain things. Hashem did this miracle. And what's the consequence? The consequence is, We have to destroy the Kli Charis, and we have to make new Kli Charis. And we bring a carbon, Nochamo. That in a way is a certain Maila, it's more work. You bring a new Kli Charis, it's fresh. You know, there's a certain Maila of, okay, so you get rid of the old China, and now you buy new China, and you have a new carbon. And when it's over, you destroy it. It's a lot of work. It's a lot of hard labor. The miracle has triggered a shibud, has triggered an avoda. We got to get to work. We got to destroy it, throw it in the garbage, get it out of here, find a place to put it, and then make new Kli Charis. How much work that is to go to the potter and to go make a new Kli Charis and to shine it and to polish it and to bring it and to transport it and call UPS and do this and do that. It's a big avoda. That's what a miracle is. Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim with miracles. And those miracles trigger shibudin to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Purim is easy. Purim was a piece of cake. Just all about hamantashen and wine. Hashem didn't do miracles for us. Hashem didn't do miracles. It's all teva. It's all nature. We have to have the chokhmah to be makir that in the teva were miracles. But because Hashem was not Mishane, the Sidrei Olam, the miracle was disguised in Teva. It's unbelievable. It's Purim, it's Purim. You know, who's not going to rejoice on Purim? But guess what? There's no consequences for us. It does not trigger anything new to do. We don't have to do anything because nothing changed. Business as usual. We'll dive in a longer Shemoneh Esrei maybe, but business. When Hashem does a miracle, he's Meshane the Sidrei Bereishis. The Bosar is not being Masriach. It's a whole different life. It creates, it shafts a Shibud to the Ribbono Shel Olam. You know, Michael Tavis, I don't need the Pesach. Pesach comes with Shibudim. That's what it's all about. Okay, so this is...
The man was like that very much.
The man also was Meshabi. You Meshane, the Sidrei Olam, it comes with Meridika Shibudim.
Right.
So this idea, I think this is so, the Mamish, it's koilo, many, many concepts. You have a Pasuk. Pshat in the Pasuk. It doesn't make sense lahalacha. The only way to make sense is to come on to a Mishnah. Oh, a Mishnah. But wait a minute. It's not... What's Taka Pshat in the miracle? So first, there's a separate idea. It's teaching you what a human being is. A human being, the Kedusha, the spark of Kedusha is never nifkan. It's there your whole life. You have to nurture it, develop it. And then the second yisur we take out of this pshat is the shibud that comes with miracles. And what more do we need to know when it comes to Pesach to recognize the shibud we have to the Ribbono Shel Olam?
What about the man? How did you use the kelim the next day? Okay, we're
running out of time. Okay, now there are a few, we're running out of time very quickly. I want to discuss, let me just tell you one other short vart, and then we're going to tell you about Shabbos HaGadol, the short vart in Shabbos HaGadol. Okay, we're running out of time. A lot of things we really want to discuss, we ran out of a lot of time quickly. But there's a very fascinating thing here in this parasha. The second half of the parasha really is divided into two parts. Korbanos, we fill in some of the missing details about Korbanos and Parshas Vayikra. And the second half of the parasha is the miluim. Three korbanot, the par hamiluim, the el hamiluim, and the asham hamiluim. Aaron and his children inaugurated the Mishkan. In mukdom u'me'uchar b'toira, the second half of parasha Sar is going back to the first parasha, the Chumash Shemos. Aaron and his children inaugurated the Mishkan, the 7 days leading up to Chodesh Nisan. We're going back in time. And everything that's done in the second half of the parasha, the instructions to do every single detail that you will read about in the second half of the parasha was told to us in Parashas Tetzaveh. There's only one thing that's missing. And that is the instruction to sprinkle oil on the surface of the Mizbeach 7 times. It says in this week's parasha that when Moshe inaugurated the Mishkan, he took oil, Shemen HaMishcha, and he sprinkled the oil on the Mizbeach 7 times. Rashi says, I don't know where. I don't know. I cannot find any source anywhere in the whole Torah or Parshat Tetzaveh specifically where Hashem told Moshe to do this. Everything that it says, a lot of details, a lot of stuff here. Every single thing that Moshe did, I can show you a parallel in Parshat Tetzaveh. Hashem told Moshe, do this, do this, do this, do this. But there's one thing that Moshe is doing that he was not told to do. Hashem never told him to take oil and put oil on the Mizbeach 7 times. That's what it says in Rashi. Vayaz al ha-Mizbeach sheva panim. Lo yadati, where did it come from? So the Ramah Mipano says, I'll tell you where it comes from. It's not explicit, but if you study the entire, and I didn't see it inside, I just saw it secondhand source. He says, if you study the entire Torah, you will discover it says exactly 7 times in the Torah the word Kedusha, in connection to the Mizbeach HaOilon, the Mizbeach HaChitzayim, it says exactly 7 times the word Kedusha. So because it says 7 times the word Kedusha, that means you should sprinkle it on the Mizbeach 7. Now, he doesn't say that. Now, that's the problem. Now, that's what I want to fill in. Now, that's one Yisait, okay? The fact that it says the word Kodosh 7 times in reference to the Mizbeach, that's a remez that Moshe should take Shemen and put Shemen on the Mizbeach 7 times. That doesn't really answer the question. Now, there's another answer to the question, which I really, really very beautiful answer. And now when you tie this answer to the Rami Pano, it's explosive. And what is the other answer? The other answer is Enochinami. There's something called Tar Shabal Peh. And here is an example. Here is an open example of Tar Shabal Peh. Not everything that we do La Halacha is in the Torah. There's something called Torah Shebal Peh. There are instructions that Hashem gave Moshe Rabbeinu Halacha LeMoshe MiSinai. There are things that are explicit in the Torah, but much of the interpretation is subject to Chazal, to tradition. Furthermore, there are things that are not even in the Torah at all, and are purely Halacha LeMoshe MiSinai. So just because it doesn't say in Parashas Tetzaveh that Moshe should sprinkle Shemen on the Mizbeach 7 times, doesn't mean Hashem didn't tell him to do this. This is a wonderful example of where we find an illustration in the Torah itself. Isn't it unbelievable? Shulchan Aruch, you'll find things it doesn't say anywhere. How do you know this? Halacha LeMoshe MiSinai. Okay, very nice. But look at this. Here's an incredible concept that in the Torah itself you see Halacha LeMoshe MiSinai. Hashem didn't tell him to do this explicitly in the parasha, and yet Moshe is doing this. The only way to make sense of this, because Hashem told Moshe, even though it was not written in the Torah, this is called Torah Shebal Peh. Now the question is, so why, from all the million things that could have been Torah Shebal Peh, was this used as an illustration to teach you Torah Shebal Peh? So I think this is where the Rabbah Mipano comes in. Why did Moshe, what's the remes? Because it says Kedusha. It says Kadosh 7 times in regard to the Mizbeach. And what does it illustrate to you? The essence of Torah Shebal Peh is Kedusha. In other words, Torah Shebal Peh is not, just do this, do that, just mundane activities. Today we're living in a world where Orthodox Jews are being challenged. Why do you live this life? Who told you to do this minhag? Who told you to do this? Who told you to do that? Vehechatesa, show me. Cite me chapter and verse. The intangibles from last week. The intangibles. I can't prove it to you. You're right, I can't prove it. So why do you do it? Tradition. This is our Messiah. This is the Messiah. Not everything that you do is written in the Torah. The one example of Torah Shebal Peh in the Torah is Moshe sprinkling oil on the Mizbeach. And what is the makar for this Torah Shebal Peh? Because the Mizbeach is called Kadosh, Kedusha, 7 times. That reveals to us the essence of Torah Shebal Peh is Kedusha. The reason why we're being challenged for matters that are the intangibles is because Kedusha is the most sensitive thing in the world. People who are sensitive to Kedusha, that's Tarsha Baal Peh. If someone is coming to challenge something that's not explicit, that it's because they are lacking. It comes from their lack of Kedusha. And when they're lacking Kedusha, they're challenging us, that demands of us to be mechazek in our Kedusha. The essence of Torah Shebaal Peh is to preserve, maintain, elevate the Kedusha of the Torah. Not just Stam the Torah. Torah is not just an instruction book. You go through the motions. The motions have to be enriched with Kedusha. Kedusha Tahara. This is the essence of Torah Shebaal Peh that you're not going to be able to find in writing, to find in any source. This is what it's all about. Okay, last part. We're out of time. Last part. This week is Shabbos HaGadol. The Haftarah, what is the Haftarah? Why is it called? We spent some time this week. We went through many reasons why it's called Shabbos HaGadol. So I just want to wind down with two more ideas of why we call over Shabbos HaGadol. First of all, the Haftarah, we discussed, there are two major themes of the Haftarah. The first major theme is bringing Meiser. You have, in fact, some of that's the Iker part of the Haftarah, that Haviu Eskol HaMaaser El Beis HaOitzar V'Hiterf M'Veisi V'Chonunino No B'Zoyis HaMa HaShem Tzavakos Im Lai Eftach Lachem Eis Arubais HaShamayim V'Harikos Ilchem B'Rocha Ad B'Lidoi. Give Biur Maisrois. Erev Pesach is the Zman when you must remove from your home all of the Maisrois. Maiser Rishon, Maiser Sheni, Maiser Oni, Chuma, Chumas Maiser. Get it out of the house. Bikurim. It's the Gmar. You must do it. The second theme is Hine Anoichi Shaleach Lachem Eisil Yohanan Vilifnei Boyayim Hashem Hagol VeHanora. The God of the Hanora, the coming of Mashiach, Pesach is the man of the Geula. These are the two major themes. But on both sides, the two are totally zebizeh. God, that's what is greatness? Greatness in Chazal always refers to the need of giving, it's to give. Hagadol. Chazal learned this from Ubarzilai HaGiladi Ish Godol Ma'od. He was the biggest Baal Chesed. He supported David and his family. Greatness, the word Godol, is a code word for giving. The reason why it's Shabbos HaGodol is not just because. It's because Lifnei Bo Yoyim Hashem HaGodol VeHanayra. It's because this Haftarah reminds us Hashem gave us a mitzvah, a truma, and my Sarisha, and my Sasheni, my Sa'ani, and Bikuri, and Chosem, the Maestros, be your Maestros, give! If you'll be a person who's Godol, whose need is to give, who's called Chazal Godol, I will reciprocate and bring for you Eliyahu HaNavi, Lifnei Bo Yoyim Hashem HaGodol, the Hanoira. It'll be Mida, Keneged Mida, the two parts of the Haftarah are really one and the same. The last part is, why is it called the Kari? What do they do on the 10th day of Adar? In the time of the Torah, they took the Seh, the Avodah Zarah of the Egyptians, which was going to be a carbon, they tied it to the Kare Hamita. Rabbi Yisai, why the Kare Hamita? Put it outside the house, put it by the kitchen, by your refrigerator. What are you tying it to your bed? There's nowhere better to tie the animal near your bed. Your bed, that's what you want to do. You want to wake up in the morning and look at the animal? What's the doom by the Kari Amita? What is going on? So I want to say Pshat is very simple. This has to be the Pshat. Why it's the Kari Amita? It has to be the Pasha Pshat. I don't know why no one says this. Probably someone does say this. In Parashas Vayichi, what does Yaakov Avinu say to Yosef? He says to Yosef, "Unisosani mimitzrayim, I want you to take me out. This day is going to come. The day is going to come when you're going to leave Egypt. I guarantee you." And when you, I'm sorry, Yosef says to his children, "The day is going to come when there's going to be pokoit pokadati, and you're going to come out of Egypt. Don't forget, take my bones. Swear to me." No, it's like Yaakov. Yaakov Avinu says, "It's like Yaakov Avinu is about to die." Let me give you 1 second, the pasuk, beginning of Ayichi. Hine avich choyle. Yaakov Avinu is very, very sick, right? Yaakov comes. And he says to him, V'yato shnei bonecha, okay? Then he says to him, the beginning of the parasha, he says, V'yosiso imadi chesed v'emes, I'll not sit b'rim in Mitzrayim, do not bury me in Egypt. V'shochavti imam osai, unisosani. I want you to take me out of this place. Yaakov Avinu says, get me out of here. Get me out of Egypt. Unisosani mi Mitzrayim. U'kvartani b'kvuro sama yoymar. And Yois, I'm going to do it. Anoich yesech edvorecha. Vayomer, swear to me. He swears. Vayishtachu Yisrael al Rosh Hamita. He bows down on the Rosh Hamita. Okay, after he hears that he's going to leave Egypt, after Yaakov Avinu is informed by with a Shavua that he's getting out of here, there's going to be a personal Yitzias Mitzrayim. He says, he bows down al Rosh Hamita, the Rosh. Why Rosh? Rashi has many perushim why he did this. Rashi's one try that I want to focus on now is Shem Mitasoy Shalema. The word Mita is a delicate word to refer to your children because that's where they're conceived, on the Mita. Therefore, Rosh Hamita. That's why he praised Hashem, he thanked Hashem, he bowed to the Shechina. I have children, 12 children, the Tzadikim, Kulam Ahuvim, Kulam Merudim, the old Tzadikim. Al Rosh Hamita. Klal Yisrael, when they leave Mitzrayim, are reliving Yaakov Avinu's life. Ma'is of a similar bottom, it's come to them. They're now informed by the Ribbono Shel Olam, you're leaving in 4 days. 5 days, 4 or 5 days. Makas Bechoros. You're leaving. We're leaving. Like Yaakov Avinu left, we're also going to leave. We're leaving alive. He left when he wasn't alive. We're leaving. They're leaving. What did Yaakov Avinu do when he heard that they're leaving? They gave Shavach to the Ribbono Shel Olam al Rosh Hamita. The Rosh Hamita, the old Tzadikim. Klal Yisrael, we can't say about ourselves the world tzaddikim. We are the halal over the Zara, the halal over the Zara, and we have to make sure that our children, our future generations also are shleim v'yireim. So we're going to do al the kari hamita. The kari is the opposite end. This is the rosh hamita, and then the legs of the bed. Yaakov was zoich ataka to children at tzaddikim gemurim. We're not holding there. We're on the 49th level of Tumah. And we have a lot of work to do with our children to make sure we get with the program. But we want to relive to some degree a reminder of Yaakov Avinu, and we want to give Shevach to the Ribbono Shel Olam that we have children, and we have what to work with, and we have an opportunity to go forward. Mimela, we're also going to take the Seh, the Pesach, which represents the Exodus, the Yitzias Mitzrayim, and we're going to tie you to the bed, the Kare Hamita. The Shabbos HaGadol is a reenactment. We're really coming back to Yaakov Avinu. We're coming back to Yaakov Avinu. He was the Rosh Hamita. We have to realize we're just a miniature of Yaakov Avinu. We're the Kari Hamita. We connect with Yaakov Avinu on the Shabbos HaGadol. A wonderful Shabbos.